¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. And as we do every Monday at this time, we welcome in our good friend Darren McFarland, host of Darren, Donick, and Chase. Also handles the Predators pre- and post-game duties for the Nashville Predators Radio Network. Darren, what's going on? How are we doing?
Good morning. That was my Adam Vinken impression.
Yes, thank you. That was pretty good.
Good morning.
Good morning. Vinken, he can be a little hit or miss on the way he brings it into the segment, can he?
It can be. It's usually a miss with me. It's always, hey.
Hey, how's it going? What's going on, Darren?
Good morning. No, he doesn't even do it. No, that's way too long. It's just, hey. Good morning.
Might be even shorter today after what his Saints did yesterday.
Maybe so.
Ooh. Yeah, they're out.
Maybe so. Anytime we can take a shot at Vingan, I'm cool with it here on the show. So Darren,
he's very formal at times. I'm just saying.
Yes, he is. So Darren, let's begin with your thoughts on the Titans yesterday. That was pretty ugly all the way around. Mm-hmm. Just your initial thoughts on what we saw from the Titans and what you think that means in terms of their long-term prospects for the rest of this regular season. How concerned are you about what we saw yesterday?
I kind of felt like we were the only show telling everybody they were going to lose to the Texans. The only show out there telling people they were going to lose
Nicely
to the Texans.
Done. Yes, okay. The only honest show.
The only
in town.
Show. Only on. I'll tell you what. We tell it like it is.
That's right.
Boy, who couldn't see that one coming? I'm pretty sure I said double digit victory for the Texans. Just be on alert. I'm just telling you.
That's because you don't push no baby buggies on your show. Darn it.
I mean, you know, let's just stop with all this. I don't subscribe to the whole, even though I know it's kind of played out this way, but, you know, they lost to they play down to their competition, they play up to their no, they played like crap, okay? They weren't going to beat anybody yesterday. You have zero sacks, you create zero turnovers, and you have 5 turnovers, which could have been a whole lot more. And you don't convert anything, you're going to lose in the NFL. Like, this just in. This is really hard-hitting stuff. I know. I mean, you're not going to get this anywhere else than on Robbie and Rex Road with
That's
this
right.
insight right here. I mean, you know, it's a pretty easy recipe. If you play like you did yesterday against any team in the NFL, doesn't matter home or away, neutral site, doesn't matter if it's in London, you're going to lose, period. And they lost, and it was rainy, and it was a crappy day, and it was rainy and crappy for the Texans. Tyrod Taylor threw for 100 yards, and you lost by 9. I mean, to the worst team in the NFL. Like, it's just what it is. How do you explain it? I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't want to hear about the injuries because all we've done is praise them about getting around the injuries. Like, what's different this week? Is it different because they lost? Because all we've done is 82 players. I mean, the record's 84, and who are these guys? And, you know, we've done the proper praise for, you know, these guys every week, and here's the new one. I mean, I don't know if you guys felt the same way, but I'm like, Hilliard. Is that Dalton Hilliard? Is that Ike Hilliard? Like, Hilliard. Why is he touching the ball so much? Who is this? I get it, McNichols is out, but they've done this all year, and it's been a really cool story to see them navigate through the, you know, the injured waters. They weren't able to navigate through these waters because they were just flat out awful. And it starts with the quarterback who makes $30 million a year. I mean, he had an awful game, and he hasn't had a great season.
Well, I would agree. I mean, Tannehill is the easy. I mean, you can't play like that. You're not going to win anything. I would say though, with you on the injuries. I'm not sure that the Titans team that lined up yesterday, especially like lined up in the second half when a bunch more guys are out of the game, is even that much better than that Texans team. I mean, that's kind of a hot take.
Ooh.
But, like, if you took the Texans, who, by the way, are 2-2 with Tyrod Taylor, and they are the worst team in the NFL without him, with Davis Mills at quarterback, I have no arguments. They are the worst team in the NFL. But easy. If you I know you love Davis Mills. But if you took that Texans team and this Titans team with all these guys who are with practice squad guys at receiver, I mean, you know, Dylan Cole is at inside linebacker all day. I didn't even know who he existed a week ago. And you put them on a neutral field, I think the Titans are about a 4.5-point favorite. Am I crazy?
Mm. Wow. I think this Texans team is awful. Supposedly today, I think the USFL is going to announce they're coming back. I expected them to announce that the Texans were going to be a part of that new spring league in the USFL. That's how bad they are. They're horrible. I don't know, Joe. I mean, that is a hot take. Joe, I'll give you that. I mean, the Texans are bad. Look, in all seriousness, you know, of course Willie did this last week because that's Coach Willie. Like, he's a cat in a room full of rocking chairs at all times. Like, he's, you know, it's he lives in fear of, like, oh, my gosh, this is the game you're going to lose. And, you know, and this one played out. I mean, he was right, be nervous Nelly with this one. But I looked at it and said, are the Predators better than Montreal? Yes. Montreal stinks. They should take care of business. I get it. It's hockey night in Canada. They just got shut out Tuesday night in Toronto. You go into Montreal and you beat the Canadiens. Should the Titans beat the Texans? Yes. Even with all the injuries? Yes, they should. They're the way better team, just like the Predators. And how smart do I look today? Because both of them lost. And both of them lost bad. Which is, you know, I think that's what we love about sports. It doesn't make it feel any better on Reaction Monday, but you know, both of them were bad, bad losses. I mean, the second period, the Predators fell apart in Montreal, and Sunday they fell apart, I guess, at the coin toss. I mean, did it ever feel good? I guess it felt good until the first Tannehill pick, right? They're marching right down the field after giving up a field goal, and it looks like it's going to be 7-3 Titans. Nice response, and then he throws what was essentially a pick six, right? And then after that, did you ever feel good the rest of the way? I didn't.
No, I think that's totally fair. Darren McFarland on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Darren, you brought up the Predators, a 6-3 loss to Montreal on Saturday. Matt Duchene with a natural hat trick in the third period to salvage that score a little bit. But as you pointed out, that second period was pretty brutal from the Predators. And UC Soros gets chased out of the net. That was not one that John Hines is going to want to spend too much time on, I don't think.
No, I don't. I think you go on and just put that one in the trash can, right? I mean, it's just, it is what it is. It's an 82-game season, and you're going to have those games. I don't think there's any reason to harp on it. Everybody knows. You know, they didn't play well. They were outplayed by a bad Montreal team. They just were. The second period, you know, when Montreal is the aggressive team, and they're winning puck battles, and, you know, they're winning the forechecking battle. I mean, just – everything they did was right, and it really wasn't UC Saros' fault. John Hines basically said that, and he came out, what, midway through the second period? I think it was just about a change, right? I think at some point you just have to say, hey, let's just change things up. And that's what they did, and Riddick came in, and Riddick did a good job. I mean, he had the empty netter at the end. That has nothing to do with him. But he shut Montreal down, and if it wasn't for Matt Duchene, you know, this would have been a lot uglier loss. I think what I liked about it, if there was anything you can take positive, is the fight, right? You come out in the third period, and you didn't pull the ripcord after 40 minutes and say, yeah, let's just get back to Nashville, get ready for the homestand. They came out and they fought, and I do like that. I think this is kind of the makeup of John Hines' team. I think this is the makeup of what they are. Granlund continues to play his tail off. What he has, 15 assists. They have they're 17 games in. He has 15 assists. Matt Duchene already has 12 goals on the year with the natural hat trick through 17 games. Roman Josi is Roman Josi, so there's a lot to like. And I liked the third period, albeit in a loss. They were going to lose no matter what. I get it. Whether they came out and they were flat in the third or that they came out with fight, they were going to lose. But I'll take coming out with fight because I think that you can build off that in the long run, right? That's something good because you don't want a team that is willing to throw in the towel because you're going to have these games throughout the course of a season. So I like that about them. I don't know if they felt that way, but I liked the fight in the third. We'll see if there's any carryover tonight against a good Ducks team. I mean, who saw this start coming? 8-1-1 in their last 10? Hello? Anaheim? Nobody was picking, you know.
Not me.
I wasn't picking them to have 23 points. What, have they played 18 games? No, not me.
Yeah. Well, how critical is this homestand? Because, I mean, the Preds were on a 7-1-1, mm-hmm. right, after the rough start. And, you know, I agree with you on the fight in the third period, but, man, that's a game that you expected them to win or at least not be blown out of Saturday. I know they had the game canceled, so, you know, you could look at that like, hey, good practice time, or no, not good, you get out of a rhythm. But how big is this homestand?
I think it's big, Joe. I mean, this is, by the way, a big week, right? Yep. Tonight against Anaheim, Wednesday night against Vegas, 5 o'clock start. Keep that in mind the day after Thanksgiving at Bridgestone Arena. 5 o'clock start against the Devils because the minute that game is over, I think that's the ESPN Plus game as well. They head straight to Denver, and they'll take on Colorado Saturday night. So this is a big week. Look, it's still very early. We've talked about this throughout the course of the seasons over the years. You know, you kind of divide seasons up. So this is kind of that first quarter of your season. And I would say through the first quarter, I don't know how you guys feel, but, you know, after this week, we'll see how it all plays out. But through the first quarter, I would say they're above where everybody thought they would be. They're better. I would give them a B plus. Any pushback on that? Would you guys give them a different grade? No. I know we need to see this week play out, but after this week is where we can start talking about the first quarters in the books. And now, you know, the next quarter will put them, when they're done with that, to halfway through the season. Let's see where they are. But I would say so far they have overachieved.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. So we'll see what they can do this week starting tonight against Anaheim, taking on the Ducks. Not quite the same names in the rivalry, but still I think Preds fans get juiced up a little bit when you hear a Ducks-Preds matchup coming up tonight at Bridgestone Arena. Darren McFarland will be a part of it, and he joins us every Monday morning here on Robbie and Rex Road at 9 o'clock. Darren, appreciate you so much taking time to join us and looking forward to the show coming up at 10.
The three of you have a very happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You as well, my friend.
Too, thanks, Darren.
That's right. All right, Darren McFarland joins us every Monday morning at 9 o'clock here on Robbie and Rex Road. When we come back, speaking of the Predators, it is time for Preds Pick to Click here on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Your opportunity to guess the goal scorer for the Predators tonight against the Ducks. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. The Predators in action tonight at home against the Anaheim Ducks. And we need your participation. Hit up our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Your opportunity to guess the goal scorer for the Nashville Predators. If you get it right, you'll win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Nashville Predators home game. So hit up our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe, Rex Road, the standings are as such. Rex Road in first place with 5 correct answers. The listeners in second place with 4. Michelle Knezovic in third with two correct answers. Robbie Stanley in last place with 1 correct answer. So we'll see if we can't get started on that. Joe, Rex Road, you are up first in the competition today. You were picked to click tonight for the Nashville Predators against the Anaheim Ducks.
I don't want to be first.
Well, I don't care.
Joe, you don't want to be first. You don't want to be last. Come on.
I know. I'm just complaining to complain. This is the only show in town where I'm honest enough to say that I don't want to. I'm going to complain about every time I get the choice, wherever I'm picking. I think we can carry this joke on for months, by the way.
I think so, too.
Do you go with Matt Duchene because he's just absolutely on a heater? Like, how do you not go with Matt Duchene coming off a hat trick? But then again, all right, I'll go Matt Duchene.
I was about to say, are you really thinking this long about this one?
No, but I mean, how? I mean,
I'm aware.
Like, the odds are he's going to have a night where he doesn't score a goal, right? I know.
I'm up second today in the competition. It's an interesting choice right now to be second, but I will go with the captain. Give me Roman Josi tonight on the power play. He gets one to go. By the way, a couple of power play goals the other night for Duchene. So that power play still rolling along for the Nashville Predators. Still looking pretty good. Michelle Knezvik, your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators.
Going back to my roots, Ryan Johansson.
Ryan Johansson, the selection by Michelle Knezvik. Preds pick to click brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. The Preds taking on the Ducks tonight. I'll be in the house. Looking forward to a little hockey action tonight. Three games this week at home at Bridgestone Arena. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So out of the normal rotation of the Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, obviously, because Thanksgiving coming up later this week. So Monday, Wednesday, Friday in action at home for the Nashville Predators.
Real chance to for you to make up some ground here.
Oh, there's a chance.
Yeah.
We're going to see what can happen.
You can do it.
On that front. Joe, getting back into the Titans, welcoming people's thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Jeff texting in, as far as Tannehill goes, his play is at the point where experienced ex-pros need to be consulted to listen on their thoughts and analysis on his play and what they are witnessing. So apparently, according to Jeff, Tannehill needs to go get some outside help from people who played the game before. Your thoughts on that?
Okay. I think Ryan Tannehill knows what he's doing. I think, you know, is today they go through the film. You know, I'm sure they'll very clearly dissect the coverages and what he saw and what he didn't see. I mean, I think that we saw with Marcus Mariota later in his time here, I believe that maybe injury / pass rush, whatever it was, affected like how he was in the pocket adversely. I think the Marcus Mariota we saw at the beginning of the 2019 season was markedly worse than the Marcus Mariota we saw, especially in the 2016 season. I'm not saying all that to say I think that's what we're seeing with Tannehill, but I do think he is being sped up a little bit by not feeling comfortable in the pocket. Again, not trying to make excuses for him. You can't make those passes. He's got to just figure out at times to just eat it or throw it away or whatever versus trying to force the ball. And another thing is we haven't talked about was that intentional grounding call, which was very, I don't know, it was dicey. There was no one on that side. He technically wasn't outside the tackle box. That's the problem for him. But
let that one fly into the back of the end zone, man. Just throw it into the second row.
He threw it right. He threw it way to the right out of bounds, and there just wasn't a receiver over on that sideline. Eventually they kind of came back, but it really, you know, it was close still. I think you could argue that call, but he should have made it so it wasn't close. Right, you're right. So he just, you know, he had a terrible day. He's had a down year. There are some things out of his control. But how is this team going to do if he doesn't not only stop turning it over, but he needs to, like, make more plays. He needs to do more to carry this team. It's a lot to put on someone who's missing all these people, but that's what's on him.
I got a text that says, Tannehill, the hits and the age setting in at age 33 means he's on the downside of his career. What do you think of that?
I mean, 33 is spring chicken territory for a QB in this league anymore.
It is.
I mean, he really hasn't had injuries that we know of. He definitely got throttled at Indy and looked a little bit banged up after that game, but he's been fine. He's still fast when he runs the ball. He almost scored on that one keeper, yeah, by the way. Like he almost took that like 60 yards for a touchdown. I mean, he got like 7, but it was one guy. I think right now it's way premature to start talking decline with him. He's just got to play better.
Chase on the text line. Do you think that Vrabel has a closed door meeting with him and says, come on, man, I need you now more than ever?
Well,
I doubt it.
Well, I mean, Vrabel's got to give all those Newt Rockne speeches so we can motivate the team to rise up. And can you tell that that's just,
yes,
annoying to me?
Yes, I can.
Joe, maybe you should be the motivator.
There is no every person needs to be their own motivator.
Self-starter, as it's called.
Yeah. Trying to stay in the NFL. Make plays.
Fred from Ashland City texting in, am I wrong or did it seem like the run game was getting blown up in the backfield way more than normal yesterday? Is that an O-line issue, the running backs, or what? If they can't run and have to throw the ball 50 times a game, we are done. This is coming from Fred in Ashland City. Now, it is interesting because my first reaction when I saw that Tannehill threw the ball 52 times yesterday in the box score was, oh boy, that's not a good winning formula. And then you look down, and they also carried the ball 25 times yesterday. So, yeah, a lot of plays out there yesterday offensively.
Right. It was four straight three and outs. I mean, they just had the ball the whole second half. Some of the 52 passes being down 19-0. After Chester Rogers screws up the punt, all of a sudden it's 19-0. You change how you have to play. Because the thing is, I think if the Titans are ahead of the score, not chasing the game yesterday, they might have a huge rushing day against that defense. It's a bad defense. It's a bad defense missing their only pass rusher, and yet they got some pressure on Ryan Tannehill, and they sacked him twice. That's so I think one answer here that has been kind of consistent, like the Titans' offensive line has to play better.
Yeah.
I mean, they, you know, six quarterback hits, two sacks for
the worst defense in the NFL. Let's call it what it is.
I apologize. Eight quarterback sack, eight quarterback hits, two sacks for the Texans. And yes, if you drop back that much, it's easier, right? You know you're pass rushing every play, but still, there were some protection issues that just they've just been there all year.
I got a texture that says the fairy dust has worn off of Tannehill. It's time to start considering drafting a quarterback. I don't know if we're at drafting a quarterback time yet. He's got to play better. I don't think there's any question about it, but I don't think they've reached drafting a quarterback time yet with their first-round pick.
He does about four or five in a row more of these games, and then maybe so. We can start talking. They are tied to him, and being tied to him for the money he makes, which is not a ton compared to the top quarterbacks in the NFL, still not a bad thing.
Cap hit about to go significantly up next year, though. There's no question about that.
That is true.
Chris on the text line. This is the only show in town that uses Cheeks and dog water regularly. I don't think there's any question about that.
We are the only show in town.
Maybe America.
Cheeks.
Let's just throw the whole world out there.
That's right.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans when we come back on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. How does this loss make you feel about the Titans in the big picture for this season? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
See, they try to keep it rolling.
Story for everyone, right? But at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. You have to find a way to take care of it and put the ball in the air. Yeah, when we're down there late in the game, especially the last one, just, you know, we needed a score. We needed yards. Had the short route on the outside, but, you know, we needed to move the ball and get more yards than a five-yard pass. So got a little too aggressive there and tried to to make something happen, knowing that we needed two scores there with no timeouts late in the game.
That was Titans quarterback Ryan Tannehill after the game yesterday. Four interceptions for Tannehill in a 22-13 loss for the Titans against the lowly Houston Texans. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Now with two locations in Murfreesboro, visit their brand new Murfreesboro location at 2019 Memorial Boulevard. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. So, Joe, we've talked a lot about the offense, the struggles today. Obviously, an embarrassing loss for the Titans yesterday against the Texans. My question for you is, how much does this change how you view the Titans in the big picture this year in the AFC? Keeping in mind that the Bills lost yesterday, the Ravens have been up and down, the Chiefs look like they may be starting to figure things out a little bit, even though their offense still yesterday still wasn't all that great. How do you view the Titans? How much did this loss change the way you view the Titans when it comes to the big picture in the AFC?
Well, it definitely changed how I view their chances to get the one. It's just it's such a hard loss to be to take and still be able to do that. Not that it isn't possible, because I just don't know how to trust any of these teams. It was actually pretty huge for the Ravens. If you want to talk about games that could be significant in that race, the Ravens, you get the late word that Lamar Jackson isn't playing. And if Lamar Jackson played, I think they go in and just handle the Bears. The Bears are awful. But they still found a way to scratch that out and get to 7-3. So they are the one team in the AFC that's there. And I can see the Ravens, if they have some good health luck, they've had a lot of bad health luck. Not Titans' bad health luck, but a lot. I can see them still being that team. Gosh, are the Bengals good? I don't know. They went and trounced the Raiders. They're bound to look terrible one of these weeks coming up. I can't understand what is happening with the Buffalo Bills. I'm stunned. I mean, good for the Colts, and Jonathan Taylor is a tremendous young talent coming into his own. But what is going on here? I think what the Bills are showing is that if you don't at all try or care to run the football, that can catch up with you.
Yep.
But, I mean, how does their defense just get just picked on like that? I don't know. The Patriots, they're coming up this week. They got a chance to draw even with the Titans and hold the tiebreaker over the Titans. And I do feel like the Chiefs, and it wasn't like some vintage offensive performance. They still are very pedestrian, I'd say, for the most part on offense. But their defense, Chris Jones has moved inside. All of a sudden, they look like a different kind of defense. They were really impressive, I thought, against the Cowboys. I know the Cowboys, you know, ended up with a couple of their receivers missing, but that was impressive to me. The Titans could still do this, but, man, that's one you have to get. You got to get this last game to get yourself at 9-2, knowing you have to go to New England, knowing later you have to go to Pittsburgh. The Niners look pretty good now. I know it was just the Jags, but I feel like the Niners are – just like the Vikings surgeon sitting there at 5-5 and feeling like they can get in the playoffs, that can be a really tough game for the Titans. It's just I have a feeling that we're going to look back at yesterday and the Titans aren't going to get the one, and we're going to talk about this game again. But I don't know who to tell you is going to get the one.
Well, right now the best team in the AFC looks like the New England Patriots. Like the way they've been playing as of late, the New England Patriots look like the best team in the AFC right now. Now, they have a rookie quarterback. I still don't trust their weapons offensively, but they have played really well the last few weeks. My question to you is, and we've gotten this a couple times on the text line today, do you feel any differently about the AFC South with the Colts crushing the Bills yesterday? They've improved to 6-5, so you still have a two-game lead on them that's really a three-game lead because you swept them in the AFC South. So it would still take a pretty decent level of collapse from the Titans to screw this up, but here you are. You lose to the Texans, and they beat the Bills, probably two results that most people did not expect to happen yesterday, and all of a sudden Indy's only two games back in the AFC South.
A week after saying, that race is over, I'm like, okay, maybe it's not over. But as the most honest show in town, I can only say that it must – look, let's go through this. What are the Titans going to finish? What are the Titans going to do? They're going to go lose to New England. I mean, I'm sure we'll be wrong, but yep, there's 8-4. They're going to beat the Jaguars at home? I think so. 9-4.
After yesterday's result, I don't know about anything.
I don't know either, but we're just making our best guess. Yeah. I'll guess that. Go lose the Steelers, I'll guess that. That's 9-5. 49ers at home? I think I might give them an L. 9-6. Dolphins at home? Okay, I'll give them the W. 10-6. Then they go to Houston. Hey, look, the Texans, if you can't see that the Texans are two totally different teams with Tyrod Taylor at quarterback and not at quarterback, I don't know what to tell you. It's not a gimme. I'd give them the win. That would be 11-6. The Colts are 6-5. This means that if that's how it plays out, the Colts have to win out to win the AFC South. Are the Colts going to win out? Let's see. Buccaneers at Texans, Patriots at Cardinals, Raiders and Jaguars. I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
So I think the Titans are still in very strong position to win the AFC South. It would be a pretty epic turn of events and collapse for them to not win the AFC South.
And probably a pretty epic surge by the Colts.
Right, like credit to them for doing what they did the Bills. It was a week after they had to hold on for dear life to beat the Jags at home. I can't see them beating the Bucs and the Patriots and the Cardinals, and that's probably the only way. I mean, maybe they go 5-1 and the Titans are one game worse than I just laid out. That's possible.
Yeah.
Probably not.
Look, you know, the Titans, again, they nothing they do really surprises me all that much in terms of everybody. The talking point the rest of this week is going to be how they're going to go up to New England and get crushed. And that's going to be a national media talking point. People are going to talk about it around here. And look, honestly, right now, based on their health, I think there's a good chance that might happen, that they might go up to New England and get crushed. But those, to me, in the past, kind of also seems like the game the Titans just find a way to win. So, look, I have no clue what's going to happen on Sunday for the Titans against New England. I will say that game yesterday did make me feel pretty differently about their chances in the big in the long term. And it's not just the game yesterday in a vacuum. It's what the offenses look like without Derrick Henry. We are now three games in to an offense that has looked like a bottom 10 offense in the NFL without Derrick Henry. That's what it's looked like. And, you know, I bought into a certain degree of the excuses in the first couple of weeks when you're playing the Rams and the Saints, as I punch the microphone, because of the two fronts that they have. I mean, you're talking about two really good fronts with the Saints and the Rams. There was zero excuse yesterday not to be able to do whatever you wanted to do offensively against a Houston Texans defense that is absolutely atrocious. I get it. It was raining. The conditions weren't great. The Texans had to play in those conditions too. Yesterday, to me, offensively, very, very concerning. And I know, look, hopefully Ryan Tannehill's not going to be throwing four picks a game as they move forward here, and I realize that's a big part of it. But so far, based on what I've seen of this offense in the three games without Derrick Henry, it's very difficult to feel pretty good about it moving forward.
And this is where I still go back to that first pick. And, you know, games aren't linear, right? Like, one play could change everything else that happens in a game. It's not like the rest of the game is going to happen the same way, but that one play changes just one thing. I think the Tannehill pick early, it's just an absolutely mind-boggling pick. When it's 3-0 and you're driving, okay, you go take the lead. It was third down, so you may have had to settle for a field goal from the 18-yard line. But settle for the field goal, settle down, and I think you could still win that game going away. That pick, getting brought back the other way, kind of reminiscent, by the way, of the Titans near the goal line 2 years ago trying to play for the AFC South title. Anthony Firkser gets the ball bounced out of his hands, and it's returned the other way. Much, much bigger game, much tougher Texans team with Deshaun Watson on the field. But it kind of reminded me of that. It's like the same opponent. That I just feel like that mistake is one where it's like you can't make that mistake. And that's where, I mean, it's fixable, certainly. It's not like Tannehill has been an interception machine all year, but he has had, like, he's been kind of good for about one of those a game. And even that is, like, different from last year and different from the year before. I mean, he's the key. It still comes back to me to him. He's got to be great. He's got to protect the football, make a lot of tough throws, stand in against so-so protection, and he's going to have to carry a couple of these wins. I don't think there's any question about that. I don't know if he's up to that.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Got a texture that says, at what point do we start looking at the strength and conditioning coach as a main reason that we can't stay healthy? We've talked about that a little bit today. Look, I'm not smart enough to know why hamstrings are popping all over the place left and right, but it is one of those things where I look around, if I'm Amy Adams Strunk or Mike Vrabel, and be like, all right, obviously I'm not a doctor. Is there something we could be doing a little bit differently to stop this? Because the hamstring flu, as you've called it, that has infected the Titans this year is pretty absurd at this point, how often it's popping up.
It's weird. So I don't – like, I understand anybody bringing that up. The strength and conditioning coach, the trainers, the doctors. You know, does Mike Vrabel blow the whistle too quickly on stretch time? You know, I don't know. I mean, I think it's certainly internally worth vetting every single thing that you're doing and saying, what is going on? What do we think this is? What could be different? I can't sit here and say – I mean, I would be surprised. I'll be surprised if the Titans fire the strength coach based on this. But I think certainly every inquiry should be made, because soft tissue injuries happen in sports, no question about it. Every single football team in the history of the sport in a given season has some hamstring injuries. I've never seen anything close to this.
Don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show live from Corner Pub in Bellevue this Sunday. The NFL pregame show features Jared Stillman, Mark Howard, and former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders. You can join them from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. live at Corner Pub in Bellevue at 8058 Tennessee Highway 100 prior to the Titans taking on the New England Patriots. The NFL pregame show brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parma Tractor and Equipment, FreedomTireGuys.com, FanDuel, E2 Roofing, Hillside Medical, Social Furniture, and Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the show. Take more of your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. I think Michelle has become quite the Private Eyes fan by Hall & Oates.
I think it's like my favorite.
I mean,
song.
It's a jam.
It's a new revolution.
By the way, are we having a. Are we? Is this something that's happening?
I think we'll this might be out. Something that's happening.
We may have a. Special musical legend on the show this week.
Joe will be a fanboy.
Yes. We are the most honest show about Hall & Oates, calling them one of the great bands of all time, maybe in the country.
You'll actually think this is funny. My little sister, she's 16. She called me the other day. She goes, Michelle, I found this really old school song, and I love it. And it was Hall & Oates.
Wow.
There you go. All generations.
That's all right. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, can we relax? If Rodgers doesn't give them the ball at the five, that's a completely different game, even with the interceptions. The conditions definitely played a factor in the game, and the Texans sat on the lead in the second half, so there were no opportunities for the defense to make plays. A little relax coming in there.
Yeah.
A little Aaron Rodgers style.
Yeah. I mean, again, relax. we just went through the AFC's, like the schedules, and I think we agree that the Titans are still going to win the AFC South probably comfortably. But this is the type of game that can cost you the one seed. And think about how valuable the one seed could be for this team. Also, you can relax, but I promise you, behind closed doors, the Titans aren't relaxed about how many of their players are incapable of playing football right now. It's incredible. And so you can call that excuse-making, too, on the flip side of the relax thing. I mean, it's just reality. They are a shell of themselves.
I got a texture that says, I'm a Texans fan who lives in Nashville now and goes to most Titans games as I love seeing live football. Two thoughts. I was disappointed in Titans fans staying home and not attending the game. 50% full stadium, even with the weather coming in for a first-place team, was disappointing to see. Number two, the Titans gave up on the run game way too fast. 16 carries for AP/Foreman was shocking. Listen, I'll be honest with you. I don't really blame people for not sitting down in that nonsense yesterday.
It was way more than 50% full. I don't want to get into another stadium percentage thing.
60-40.
I was actually pretty impressed with the turnout. I mean, they had the top levels of the upper deck, like, occupied. I mean, it was probably like 80% versus they've been well into the 90s, but that's pretty good.
I thought there was a chance that maybe like Davis Mills' helmet would shield everybody from the rain, but didn't quite get up that high that time.
We are the only show who will make as much fun of Davis Mills' neck as any other show.
Robbie loves it.
I can't wait until like Davis Mills inevitably becomes like the third string quarterback for the Titans one day. We'll never be allowed to have him on the show just based on past things I've said.
No, we will have him on the show, and you will be the only person who asks him any questions. I'm going to sit that one out.
Davis, how's it feel to be able to see over all of humanity? Let's start there.
Just questions about that.
I got a texter on the text line that says the Colts will sneak up on us if we're not careful.
It would take lose also to the Jags at home. Is that possible? I'd say anything bad is possible. if you lose all your football players. So nothing's off the table, but I feel like, you know, you get a Christian Fulton back, David Long should come. Like, there's some good stuff that should happen, and Ryan Tannehill's not going to have turnovers. You know, to the previous texter about, I don't think he's going to have that many turnovers in more games.
I hope not.
To the previous texter's point about the run game, the Texans fan, I mean, I hear what you're saying, but the problem is when Chester Rogers makes that play and all of a sudden that sets up 19-0, it has to change your game plan to some extent.
Frank on the text line, Joe, I will not be reminding you about my bold prediction of the Kansas City Chiefs not making the playoffs. That was looking pretty good a few weeks ago. Not so much right now.
Thank you for not reminding us. I mean,
I also took them and the Colts in Pigskin Pick'em.
What'd you do in Pigskin Pick'em this week?
I took the Chiefs and I took the Colts.
No, but what'd you do? What'd you?
Oh, 4-2, but I hit my lock.
4-2.
Yeah, I went 1-5. That was fun stuff. Only game I got right was the Vols.
That's tough. I went 3-3, and I got completely hosed by the.
Did you?
Yeah. I mean, the Chargers are rolling, and the Ravens. I didn't know that. God, the Ravens. They would have killed the Bears. Ugh. It's a killer, man.
Tough.
Yeah, there's a lot of sympathy coming from that other room in there. Andrew from Dover texting in. The Titans will still get the number one seed, and our players will get ready for the playoffs, especially Henry. Be patient and hopeful. Tighten up, baby. This is coming from Andrew from Dover. I appreciate the sunshine today from Andrew. That's good stuff.
It's good to have a little bit of sunshine. Michelle, you went 3-3.
No.
Yes, you did.
What? I had.
You picked South Alabama.
Yeah, you did.
No way.
Oh, yes, you did.
I was like cheering for Tennessee because I thought I picked them.
No, you definitely picked South
Alabama. Yes.
Do we need to go recount the standings now?
Yeah, I know, right? No, I check them. I double because she had a graphic that was wrong one week. So I don't
really?
Worry. I'm vetting
you. That just.
So, but again, you're upset about going 500.
Yeah. I would take 500 every
like,
week.
I'm excited that I went 500. Yeah. So were we honest enough about the Titans today? The show's about over. Like,
Do you think
probably
that
not.
You're going to get called a Ryan Tannehill defender at some point today?
Probably a lot of things.
Oh, yeah.
I'm thinking. I think Jared's upset. He hasn't responded lately. Maybe he's working out.
Have you been too easy on Tannehill?
Well, so the argument, in all seriousness, the argument we've had, and so I woke up to this text. I woke up to this text today.
Okay.
Here is the text I woke up to from Jared, and it said, worried about them Tannehill interceptions now? Two question marks. And so my response is, like, what are we talking about here? So Jared's going to turn this terrible day yesterday into an I told you so moment for Jared. Okay?
Yeah.
He will absolutely do that, which I think is a bit disingenuous. I have not once before yesterday thought Tannehill was a problem. He hasn't played his best. He hasn't been at the same level. Yesterday, he was a problem to me for the first time. In fact, I would say for the first time in his Titans career. There's times where you wanted to do more against the Ravens in the playoffs, right?
Sure.
But was there another time before yesterday where you're like, oh, Tannehill's an issue?
No, I'll be honest with you. Yesterday was the first time maybe you ought to sit him down for the rest of the game came through my mind. Like, it really did. And I know that's extreme and it wasn't going to happen.
That is extreme.
But after the third one yesterday, I was like, all right. It may be time to sit him down for the rest of this game. Just give him a breather.
Do you see yesterday as some like validation, like that, like the whole season was leading to yesterday?
No, but he's got to get smarter with the ball, and I don't think there's any question about that. We'll continue to talk about this throughout the week. Take your thoughts all show long tomorrow, starting at 6 a.m. on our text line, 615-737-1025. Darren Donick and Chase coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
¿Quieres mejor internet?
Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.